Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. We're going to start reading at verse number 37. I'm going to ask you to stand together with me. Beginning at verse number 37, chapter 6 of the Gospel of Luke. This is a great message. It kind of follows up on the tales of what we talked about last week, you know, our spiritual vision. And so here we go, beginning at verse 37. Bible says to us, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned." Can you say amen? Oh, that's marvelous. "Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And then Jesus spoke a parable to them. "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite." Well, thank you, Lord. Ouch. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Yeah. Verses 37 and 38 remind us that we reap what we sow, and in the amount we sow. If we judge others, we'll be judged. If we forgive others, we'll be forgiven. But if we condemn people, we ourselves will be condemned. Isn't that what Jesus is saying there? Isn't that what he just said? Sure it is. Jesus wasn't talking here about eternal judgment, but the way that we are treated in life. Understand, one day God will, at the end, judge us all. But listen, people are also judging us right now. They're looking at us. They're examining us. And we receive from people exactly what we give back to people. The kind of judgment, the measure of judgment comes right to us like a boomerang. And isn't that a great word? I was so excited when I wrote that word. I don't know why. But that's a great, it comes back to us. You know, whatever you throw, it will come back to you. If we live to give God and to serve God, God will see to it that we receive. But if we live only to get, God will see to it that we lose. And the principle here, understand, applies not only to our giving of money. I know that verse is often used in regards to money, but also to the giving of ourselves in ministry to other people. When we judge and condemn and criticize others, Jesus made it very clear that we have an eye problem. Something's wrong. Just like, you know, every car has a blind spot, every Christian does too. We are particularly, I think, challenged to accept people who look and talk. They dress. They behave differently. They have, you know, different customs. They are of a different nationality. They hold to a different belief system. We normally don't struggle with accepting people who are just like us. Have you noticed that? Thank you. And then sometimes when new people come in, if they're not exactly like us, what do? We try to conform them and transform them into us. Huh? Like cookie cutters. But that's not what God does. That's not how God designed it. Come on. He gave you the personality. He made you who you are. And even though nobody else likes your personality, God must. And that's good. That's good. Yeah, so pat yourself on the back. We sang about that you're special to the Lord, and you are. Truthfully, most of us have a rather limited view of life when you stop to think about it. For instance, I was born in the good old USA, brought up in a Christian home, attended a conservative church, and for some 40-plus years, over 40 years, have ministered in a similar environment. And while I do not begrudge my my heritage, I have to admit that it has created for me a kind of telescopic lens through which I see the world. The way that you were brought up, it affects us. It affects our eyesight. It's how we perceive people. We base it upon the way that we grew up. How easy to take one look at somebody and at first glance make a judgment call. You ever do that? You ever go to the mall? Sit on a park bench just to watch people? Oh, it's exciting. It's fun. And you have to ask yourself, hey, just watching those people as you do, don't you start forming opinions about them as they pass by? You kind of examine them and think, well, he must do this or she must do that. Or, oh, they've got a good marriage because they're holding hands. You know what I'm saying? You ever do that? You like to watch people? It's better than going to the zoo. I mean, just sit, don't feed them, but it's fun just to watch them. Yeah, and we do form opinions. I mean, with a single glance, we can decide whether we like them or not. Happens. We do it. And if they don't share our personal convictions, how easy, you know, come on, just to write them off. Why do we do that? Well, because it's obvious they're not as spiritual as we are, so they don't deserve our time. Have you noticed the most spiritual people are the people who share your convictions and think just like you when it comes to theology? Everybody else, just misguided. They're missing the mark. Not even coming close to the target. Because, let's face it, we are spiritual. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm spiritual. Okay, or don't. All right. Our challenge is to accept each of the 6 billion people who share our planet and those who share our pews, even though they aren't cut from the same cloth. Their backgrounds are so opposite to ours. A reluctance to accept people will cause us to discriminate against some and to show favor to others. But when we freely accept all people, begin to see the world through the eyes of Christ, suddenly favoritism gives way to unconditional love. And if you're trying to change people, conform people, make them more like you, think like me, act like me, you know what I'm saying? The only way, because stop trying to change people. Nobody can change a person except God. And when you love people, it's the love of God that will bring people home, will make them different, will change them not into your image, but into the image of the Lord who created them. We were all made in the image of God, not in the image of each other. And I've got to remember that. What God is making you into, that's up to Him. He's the designer. He's the creator, not me. I'm not going to shape you. I'm not going to mold you. We use the same book, the same inspired word of God, the Holy Spirit working on each of us. But He's building us independently to be the person that He has ordained for us to be. And I like that. I like that. Because He's got different works for each of us to do. He's put different gifts and talents in each one of our lives. And He can use us very special, just the way that we are. God, just like the song we sang, He loves us. He accepted us just as we are. Is He making changes? You know He is. From glory to glory, God is working in and on our lives. We have to be honest with ourselves and confess the blind spots in all of our lives, the obstacles, you know, that blur our visions and those areas within us that just need the touch of God and we need His correction. Hey, if I'm not seeing this right, if I'm not seeing them right, Lord, please. Like He said to the Laodiceans last week, you know, they're out of Revelation 3. Buy from me eye salve that you may see, because He said to that church, you are so blind. You're just blind. Spiritually speaking, then and only then can we be used by the Lord to minister to others and not to lead them astray. Jesus said in our text, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? And that's kind of comical. Unless you're falling into the ditch. But I served with a senior pastor, and we had a sheriff in the congregation, and he wanted to go with the sheriff and ride in his car. And who doesn't want to ride in a police car and play with a siren, you know? We all do. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it just so happens that the day that he decided to go with the sheriff, a blizzard hit town. But he was so determined that he was going to go, he went. The sheriff, I was standing there at the church when he picked him up, and they shot off down the road. Couldn't even see. Snow was falling so bad. Well, in their journey, they come upon a car in the ditch. Flashing lights there, you know what I'm saying? So the police officer, you know, visibility non-existent. He pulled over, radioed, and that's always neat, you know. Use that little radio. That's what that is. If you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm using that's so bad. I watch too much Adam 12. They're using the little radio. And so he calls for a tow truck. And after about 45 minutes, here comes the tow truck. Hook up the car, pull it out of the ditch. The police officer, I guess trying to be kind, said, "Now listen, I'll leave my lights on. Let's get out of this mess. Just follow me." And about a half mile down the road, the police officer lost control and went into a ditch. Guess what happened? You got it. Right into the back end of that police car. He said, "Follow me." They were following him. They went into the ditch and just followed the police officer. I think that's a funny story. Well, jot this down. When you're following the Lord, you won't need a tow truck to pull you out of your trouble. God has 20/20 vision. Perfect sight and insight. He sees everybody everywhere. Remarkable. The purpose of self-examination, you know, recognizing those potential planks in our own eyes, is to prepare us to serve others. You know, we're saved to serve. You know, Jesus saved you because he had a purpose for you. He wants to use your life to minister and to bless and help other people. When we don't judge ourselves, we not only hurt ourselves, but we also hurt those to whom we have been called to minister. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, they judged and they criticized others to make themselves look good. Oh, they were arrogant. They were puffed up. They loved to pray on the street corner. They liked to be heard and to be seen as religious. But as Christians, we judge ourselves in order to make others look good. Don't you see that? It's no longer about us. It's not about our image. It's about reflecting Christ, being like our teacher. The scribes and the Pharisees were guilty of exercising a false kind of judgment about themselves, first of all. And how you judge yourself will determine how you judge other people. But not only that, it will also affect the way that you judge the Lord, what you think of God. Yeah, I need a clear picture of me so that I can see others, so that I can recognize God. Jesus taught that we must be able to see clearly enough to help our brother see. I want God to touch my eyes so that God might use me to help you if you've got a problem with sight. Jesus chose the eye, one of the most sensitive areas of the body, to illustrate the point. There certainly isn't anything wrong with wanting to help a brother get a painful, you know, speck of dirt out of his eye. That is, providing that we can see. Little girl in daycare the other day, her eye was so red and so puffy. One of the workers called her over and said, "Let me look, honey." And she had an eyelash in her eye. There's nothing more irritating, right, than to have something in your eye. You want somebody to help you, in a physical sense, to get that thing out of there. And also in a spiritual sense. Jesus must have had a great sense of humor. I believe that about the Lord. You know, and you say, "Well, how do you know that?" Because the kids love to hang out with him. And kids like to be around people that make them laugh and smile. And the children love the Lord. And he loved the children because he's God. Sometimes it takes God to love the children, you know. I say that because I'm serving cereal at daycare at 6:30 every morning. Yeah, sometimes you just need a little more Jesus in you, you know, make that happen. Well, can you imagine how his audience must have laughed when Jesus, this is very visual. Jesus was really, when he communicated, he painted pictures for people, and I love that. That's a great art that Jesus had of communicating. How Jesus described an eye doctor with a plank in his eye attempting to perform surgery on a patient with a speck in his. That would have caused people's eyebrows to go up and a smile on their face. Well, that's ridiculous. Nobody would want that. Nobody would do that. The emphasis here is on being honest with ourselves and not becoming a hypocrite or hypocritical. Don't want to do that. Want to be the real deal. Want to be genuine. Want to have integrity, right? Don't want to be artificial. Want to be authentic, you know, because God is. Jesus was referring primarily to the Pharisees who were leading the people astray. If we see ourselves as believers today, saved to serve, if we see ourselves as excellent guides and examples for other people to follow, but we don't realize our own blindness, we will only lead people astray. We'll drive them right into the ditch. We'll say, come on, follow me, and the next moment they're going to need a tow truck. And so will we, because we were misguided, and we misguided them. So there are blind people who have a remarkable, keen sense of direction. I mean, absolutely remarkable. You see their stories sometimes. I mean, they've lost their sight, but boy, oh boy, you know, phenomenal. And yet I still don't want them flying the airplane. Me either, Pastor, I know. Or performing surgery on me. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. Yeah. Pilate came on the intercom. Said, well, folks, told them how high they were in the air. You know, 30,000 feet. Got bad news and good news for you. Said, let me give you bad news first. I'm lost. Thank you for that. Yeah, he said, will you do that one more time? I'm lost. I need something up here. Come on, give me a little feedback. I'm lost. And he said, but the good news is we're making great time. You know, and I thought about that when I wrote that thought there. We might be making excellent time, but are you going the right way? Or are you going astray? Don't want a blind pilot. Sometimes, you know, it's easy to draw attention to my brother's fault just so that we can divert attention away from our own. People who are constantly criticizing others are usually, and I can give you numerous scriptures to back this up, guilty of something far worse in their own lives. You know, it takes one to know one. And that's sobering to me because I want to be the real deal. I want to be authentic. I don't want to be hypocritical. I don't want to be a fake. Picture of a man with a 2x4 sticking out of his eye. It's kind of amusing, and yet how painful is that? You think about it. You get a splinter. Horrible. You guys, construction people, manly people, you have aprons and everything with hammers and tools and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I could put that. If I put one of those belts on, I couldn't even stand up. You know what I'm saying? You guys are manly. Get a splinter. Don't like that. How about a 2x4 in your eye? If we don't honestly face up to our sins and confess them, we only blind ourselves, Jesus is saying, and then we can't see clearly enough to help anybody else. We've got to allow God to touch us and to heal us and give us that 20/20 divine vision. We've got to see people the way that Jesus sees them. See, that's where it all started with the Lord. Go through the Gospels. He saw people. They weren't invisible to him. We go through life. We go through society, our culture. And most of the time, we don't even see people because we're blinded. If it doesn't affect us, who cares? Jesus sees people. He sees every person. He knows them. The Pharisees saw the sins of others, but they couldn't see their own. They saw other people's sins. Why? Because they were looking for them. They were searching for them. I'm looking to find a flaw in you, something that's out of line, out of whack. That makes me feel so much better about myself. Listen, when you can see a speck, it's like a little flake of dust. It's because you're looking really hard. I mean, a speck, I got to be up close and personal. This is a personal matter to me. I'm really analyzing you, dissecting you, looking at you, examining you. And how easy it is for us to examine other people without ever coming to the Dr. Jesus and saying, I need a physical. How am I doing? I need to get out those letters and put them on the wall. See what my sight, you know, is really like. Am I seeing correctly? Am I seeing clearly? We look hard to these religious leaders. Finding a fault was like discovering, you know, buried treasure. They lived to do it. Isn't that terrible? There are some people so negative, they can't say anything good about anybody. Huh. Now you're meddling, Pastor. Get back to ministry. But it happens. Listen, when you look at your brother, what are you hoping to see? Hoping to find? Are you looking for a flaw, an imperfection, a fault? Or maybe an area where you could extend a little grace. I'm reminded of the woman who was noticing her neighbor's wash on the line. It's a very familiar illustration. I heard it growing up. It was filthy. It was horrible. And one day she decided to open her window for some fresh air. Suddenly, it was amazing how clean the other woman's wash appeared to be. Makes you stop. Maybe it's not your wash. Maybe it's my window. So how are things looking out your window? Analyze it. Ask God to help you to examine the Holy Spirit. How are my lenses? Do you need God to touch your lenses? I know God doesn't wear glasses, but if he did, I'd sure like to borrow them just for a minute. To see the world, to see people. If you're always looking for the worst in people, I guarantee to you, finish my sentence. You'll find it. And you'll go through life having a dirty window, a condemning, critical, judgmental spirit, and what a shame. Life will just become one criticism, and you won't even be able to celebrate it anymore. Boy, you know what? Our lives are so short. It's just a vapor. Let's have some fun. Let's share some love with people. Let's accept people. Let's look beyond their fault through the eyes of God and see their need. And say maybe, except for the grace of God, there go I. What can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? You're already down. I don't want to kick you when you're down. God has sent me to lift you up. What a shame. What a shame. So we need to open the window, we need to clean it, and then we have to let the sun shine in, and when we do, it will change our whole perspective. Outlook determines outcome. When I look out, boy, and I believe that what I see is true, it's going to affect the results that I'm going to get in my own life. Outcome is based upon outlook. And that is so true. Jesus said, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Don't want that. Judge not, condemn that. Not, Jesus said, just forgive people. One thing is for sure, God doesn't see like man sees. We judge, and you know it's true, based upon the label, the outside of the box. But God opens the box, and he looks inside at the content. And as a kid growing up, I used to love to open the cereal box. You remember that when there was actually cereal in the box? You know, you open the box, it wasn't like 80% air, but there was actually cereal, and they would fill it to the top. And I remember digging down, going through it, searching, looking for that little prize. And I just pray that God, and this is just my outlook, my disposition, I think, maybe my personality. I just want to, when I look at people and it can be challenging and outside of Christ, I can't do it at all. Just want to look at people and say, you know what? There's a prize inside that box. There's a treasure there that I certainly don't see, but God must, because they were created in his image. God, help me to become an explorer and to find the prize. Make me patient, make me long-suffering. Help me to be used by you to bring them to the place where you want them to be. Not where I want them to be, but you want them to be. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. Do you notice there in our text, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Huh? If I'm perfectly trained, Jesus said, then I'm going to be like him. I'm going to act like him. I'm going to have the compassion of the Lord, the mind of Christ, the sight of the Lord, the vision of God. Wow, that's exciting. The Bible makes it clear, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I love that. You see, because of sin, the world was already condemned. So we don't have to tell hurting, broken, suffering people that they're going to hell. Because let me tell you something, multitudes already feel like they're living there. We need to preach the gospel. We need to share the good news. Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to save. And to him, it was all a matter of spiritual perspective. I love the day. And with this, I close. Remember the woman taken in adultery, and thrown down in the dirt. Jesus had to be offended at the brutal fashion in which she had been manhandled, you know, publicly humiliated. They threw her down at his feet and said, hey, judge her. You know what Jesus did? Instead of judging the woman who was a sinner, no question, no doubt, Jesus judged the judges. The eyes of the Lord looked at that little honey there, and that was not his focus, her sin. He looked at the men who brought her there and challenged them. And he said to them, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Yeah. God help us. God help us. When I look at my brother and I see a speck in his eye and I condemn him and I judge him, refusing to forgive him or making any room for him in my life, that only tells me that I have a plank in mine. And when you start being negative and grumbling and murmuring and complaining about everybody around you, take a break. Huh? Sit with the Lord for a minute and say, Father, help me here. I don't like how I'm doing. I don't like my opinion about people. I want to have the thoughts of Christ. I want to view people the way that you see them. You saw them. Listen, when we were sinners, when we were at our worst, Jesus still came to die for us. He gave his best when we were at our worst. So when you see people at their worst, why don't you start giving your best? Just a thought as we start a brand new year. May God heal our blindness, touch our blurred, you know, vision so that we might truly be able to be used by God to minister to others and bring them to Christ. As we face a new year, if we want God to build a fire in our church, and I do, and under us, and in us, then maybe we can give him our planks for kindling. You think? Shall we build a fire for God? Give him your plank. He'll fire that thing up. And when your planks begin to melt away and burn away, it's amazing what God can do. Well, Dr. Jesus giving us an eye test today, and it's all based upon how we see our brother. And that's the true test of our spiritual condition and eyesight. So, Father, help us. And this is my brother. We're not even talking about the world. I have enough problems looking at my brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes to even think about how am I looking at the world, right? Boy, oh boy, whoever, have you looked at the world lately? They're a mess out there. Whoo, lock the door, don't let them in. You know I'm kidding, right? Yeah. Father, I just pray this morning. We've taken communion. And Lord, your word has told us to examine our hearts as we do that. And Lord, as we've listened to your teaching, Jesus, please make it a reality. And when we're so fast, when we're flying so fast and yet we're lost, help us to stop. Lord Jesus, help us just to stop and quiet ourselves and allow you to touch our eyes again. Give us a second touch. May we see men and women and boys and girls through your eyes, Lord. And Lord, really, we need you. Every day we need to pray this prayer that for the encounters that we have, the things that we experience, that we won't just look with our natural vision, but you will give us eyes to see, eyes of understanding. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And Father, honestly, if we can just get the plank out of our own eye, I think we'll be amazed at what we find going on in our lives.